Okay, we've been working on some verses that we want to know where they're at, and at least generally what they say, that can help keep us prepared to take advantage of opportunities. So let's do a little bit of review on that tonight. Why is it that men need to be concerned about salvation at all? Maybe you want to study with someone and they do not even really grasp the importance of it. What verse could you turn to show why a plan of salvation is important? One of our memory verses.
Romans 3:23.
What does that say? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that verse in context, that's why Paul is explaining the need of the gospel of Jesus Christ in the book of Romans. He has developed that all the way from chapter 1 and verse 18. And so by using that verse to show the need of the plan of salvation is perfectly in harmony with how Paul used it in Romans chapter 3. And verse 23. Okay, so where would you go to show that God provided a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ? One of our memory verses.
Luke 19:10
is good. What does that say? Right, Son of Man has come to seek and save the lost. And John 3:16. And what does that say?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that none may take it and have everlasting life.
Okay, you left out one real important phrase. That whoever believes in him. That's good. All right. Shall not perish but have everlasting life. All right, so Luke 19:10 shows that Christ did not come for social and economic reasons, but he came to remedy this problem that man has with sin. And John 3:16 shows this was God's plan for man's plight in that he sent his only begotten Son. But there's other religions in the world. There are religions that don't believe in Jesus. How important is it that I believe in Jesus as the Son of God? We use John 3:16. That's a good one, but there's another verse that talks about what happens if a person doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God. One of our memory verses.
John 8:24.
And so what did Jesus say there? Right. That's pretty strong, isn't it? Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. So somebody said, well, I believe in Jesus. But what do they believe in Jesus? It's not enough to believe that there was a person named Jesus or in simply a general concept of Jesus. How would you show somebody that there is a definite body of information that must be known and believed about Jesus? One of our memory verses. John 20:31. And what does that say? These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in His name. So that states the purpose of the Gospels and the importance not simply believing, quote, in Jesus, but believing what these four books state about Jesus Christ, and thus our need to be familiar with the identity of Christ. And that was one of our lessons. you're talking with someone, they say, I don't believe that works has anything to do with salvation. You're saved simply by grace. Where is a verse you could go to say that this person says, I just believe once you believe, you're saved. And you say the sinner's prayer, and I don't believe works has anything to do with it. Where is a verse that you could go to help them see that they do not understand this concept of works and faith? Okay, you can use James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I want a verse that says faith itself is a work. What?
Ephesians 2:8-9
say, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But it doesn't say faith is a work. That verse is the one that they would appeal to. If they say, I don't believe works has anything to do with salvation, that's because of one of the verses they may quote is Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you're contending that baptism is required. That's a work. Do they believe that you must do any work to be saved? They do. Where's the verse that teaches that?
John 6:28-29.
What do those verses say? Okay, that's part of it. If you can get that much of it, that's good enough. They therefore said unto him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Now, verse 28 is good to know with 29, and here's why. If you quote verse 29, this is the work of God that you believe. In the denominational world, how are people taught that you come to have faith?
Jesus works in your heart.
Jesus works in your heart. You're one of the elect, and it's just given to you. So John 6:29, they'd say, amen, this is the work of God. God worked this in my heart. I agree with that. Why does verse 28 help you?
They asked the question, what was
weak? That's right. That's why verse 28 is helpful. Back in 27, he pointed out that they should not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. And so then they said, well, what shall we do to work the works of God? And so he's talking about what we must do, and Jesus responding to that question, this is the work of God that you must work, in other words, in order to be saved. And that's why it's good to know both those verses in responding to someone. Okay. I believe that covers all the memory verses that we have had. All right, we're on this lesson on grace and works. And I believe in the last class you got down to point number 3. Romans 9:30-33, which you studied in your last class, is very important because it shows that the works that Paul was talking about in Romans, I didn't put it on the memory verse, but one of the verses you may hear besides Ephesians 2:8-9 to say that baptism has nothing to do with your salvation is Romans 4:4-5. Go over there and look at it. They go to their preacher and come back to you, that may be a verse that they would bring to your attention. Romans 4:4-5. Now to the one who works, his wage is not reckoned as a favor. What's another word for favor? Grace. But as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him and justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. So this is why this is such a sticking point. If they believe baptism is this kind of work, and you teach it's essential to salvation, You have undermined salvation by grace. That's why it's so important. But when you studied Romans 9, 30-33, he defines what he means by works there. What did he mean? What did he mean by works in Romans 4 based on Romans 9? Let the writer define his terms. Ma'am? Keep the law perfectly. Note in Romans 9:30, what do these works in verse 32, what do they not require? Faith in what? Faith in God? Faith in the Messiah, Jesus, and His work as the suffering Messiah. The gospel, Paul said he was a preacher of, Romans 1:16. That his death was an atonement. He develops that, chapter 3 and 4 and 5. And so the works that Paul was taught about, Romans 4, is saying, I can be right with God without the gospel of a suffering Messiah. I'm good enough. I'm a Jew. I'm God's chosen people. You say, well, I don't talk to Jews, but you talk to people who believe their morality is enough. They don't need, quote unquote, church. They don't need religion. And so, be aware how Romans 9, Paul tells you what he means by works. And you discussed that in your last class. That's a very important passage for you as a teacher to understand in being prepared to discuss that with others. Okay. Our point number 3. Salvation by grace through faith exemplified. I only gave this one example. There are a number of examples that could be given. This one is sufficient. It's very, very clear. And so I've chosen it. It's one that you can use to show that how men are saved by grace through an obedient faith. That all three of those things work together. All right? Grace, faith, and works. Now, was Noah saved from the flood by grace? And if so, tell me how you know. That's anything about grace? I agree, that's it. He was warned. Genesis 6:8. Noah found what?
Favor.
What's another word for favor? Grace. And the warning that God gave him was an act of grace, as Craig has pointed out. But here's a verse that actually says Noah was saved by grace. Without God's grace, he would not have been saved. Okay. Was he saved by faith? And if he was saved by faith, show me a verse. You want to prepare yourself so that you don't just tell people something. You want to say, here, let me open my Bible and show you. And let them read it. And that's what we're trying to do in this study. You know these things. We're not trying to teach this class. I think most people know this. But are we equipped to take what we know and show it to someone? These are simple ways to do it. These are practical things that have been used and you can use. So was Noah saved by faith?
Yes.
What? Well, how do you know?
Hebrews 11:7 says by faith. It says by faith Noah, being warned of God about things not yet seen, in reverence.
All right. So God warned him about a flood. Had he ever seen a flood? far as we know, no. Certainly not a flood like that. So why build a boat for something you have never seen?
Faith.
So it was grace that warned him of this flood. It was faith that caused him to prepare an ark. All right, so Noah was saved by grace and Noah was saved by faith. Those are not mutually exclusive. Were there works that he had to perform to be saved by grace through faith? How do you know? He prepared an ark. Hebrews 11:7, right? Is that a work? What does the word work mean? We asked you to define the word work earlier in this lesson. What does the word work mean? You defined it earlier in this lesson. Define work is not under B1?
No.
Well, who added that in anyway? Okay, I continue to make revisions to these lessons as I work through them. In the revision, I've got a question. Define the word work. And because that word seems to have a slippery meaning, I guess, to people. All the word work means, I've got a definition right here out of the dictionary, New Oxford Dictionary. Activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. That's a good definition. So people don't like that word works because of Ephesians 2:9. What does Ephesians 2:9 say? What? Not of works. So, that work's a bad word. Not of works. But when he prepared an ark, did he work? Did he perform activity to accomplish a result? Yes. Don't be afraid of the word work. And so we use terms, throwing them out there without a clear definition of what they mean. Before I ask this next question, let me see if it's on your copy. No, it's not, so I'll ask it anyway. Is repentance toward Christ a work? It is. And how do you arrive at that conclusion? Sir?
You have to take action. You have to repent.
Okay.
To be baptized.
It's a mental or physical action in order to achieve a result. That's the definition of work. Repentance is a mental action with physical fruits, but it's an action. It is a work. Is repentance essential to salvation? I don't know of anybody that doesn't argue that. And so if a person says repentance is essential to salvation, and we can get a clear definition of works, what have they conceded? Work. Are essential to salvation. Either that, or you're going to have to redefine the word work or deny that repentance is necessary. Okay? Okay, let's see. So what else I didn't put on yours that I want to ask you? Here's a question on the revised copy, and I want you to be familiar with this. This is not on your memory verse sheet, I don't believe, but it's a good question anyway. What is the theme of the Gospel of Romans, the Book of Romans?
Obedience by faith.
Okay, that's not a bad answer at all. I was looking for a verse where Paul tells what he's writing about.
Romans 1:16.
You're ahead of me, John. That's my next question. So Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Now, my next question, and I have it on here, the gospel Paul was a minister of and wrote about was one designed to lead men to do what? Okay, remember these two verses. Write them in the top of Romans. Write them in the back of your Bible somewhere. Because if you're talking to people, you may hear Romans 1:16. You may hear Romans 5:1. What does Romans 5:1 say?
Justified
by faith. Justified by faith. I don't deny that. But look at 1:5 and 16:26 and tell me what kind of faith he's talking about, those two verses. The beginning of the book, at the end of the book. What was he trying to lead men to? Obedient of faith. How in the world then can you take 1:16 or 5:1 or 4:5 and make it exclude or not have any kind of obedience in it when Paul said that is the gospel he was a minister of to lead men to obedience of faith? Those two verses, the beginning and the end of the book. Okay? Sir? Very good. Justified by faith, John said that's a part for the whole. Synecdoche, it is. So when he said justified by faith, he was talking about an obedient faith. Faith and all that entails, including repentance, including confession. He said that where in the book of Romans that it included confession? That's a later lesson, but many of you know it.
Romans 10:9 and 10.
And it included baptism, and he talked about that in the book of Romans. Where did he talk about that?
Romans 6:3 and 4.
So justified by faith, as John accurately pointed out, faith is used as a part for the whole, figure synecdoche, to include the things that faith causes men to do to have the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. Look at Romans chapter 4. Now we read verse 4 and 5 to the one who does not work. But look at 4:12. Who's the father of the faithful in this chapter?
Abraham.
Now look what he says in 12. He said... In verse 11, he might be the father of all who believe. But look what they do in verse 12. What do the people who believe like Abraham believe, what must they do? Verse 12. Walk in the steps of. That's doing something. Follow in the steps of. Look back at chapter 2 and verse 8. Who are going to be lost according to 2:8? Those who do not obey the truth. Obey the truth. And so, look at chapter 6:17. What did these people, how does he describe their becoming free from sin in 6:17? Became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching. So if you're familiar with these verses, because this business of works is a key thing, salvation by grace through faith, this lesson is about grace and works. We need to be familiar with some of these, unless so we don't just kind of stammer around and say, well, I don't know, you believe what I believe what I believe. Let me go talk to my preacher. We need to know some of these verses so we can make ourselves equipped. We started out our class talking about Ephesians 4, that the reason Christ left these five offices was to equip the saint for the work of service. And so that's what we're trying to do as we go through these lessons, make us better equipped to be able to teach. We're not afraid of truth. If the book of Romans teaches that there's nothing I do to be saved, fine, I want to know that. That's what I want to teach. I have no denominational doctrine to defend. But I don't want to say something Paul never meant. And that's why we're trying to make this clear. Okay, so our next question, number four on your lesson. I better look at your copy, be sure all this is on there. Question number four. The works essential to salvation from sin are those done in obedience to the commands Christ has given in order to be saved. According to these two verses that we have, and John just read one of them, salvation is contingent on what? Obedience to the gospel, having obeyed from the heart that form of teaching. In 2 Thessalonians 1, people are going to be lost when Christ comes again because they did not do what? Did not obey the gospel. Let me ask you this. Do you obey statements of information? You obey commands. You believe statements of information. You obey commands. But look, he used the term gospel here to include commands. Gospel means good news. As John pointed out earlier with the word faith in Romans, here gospel includes, part for the whole, commands. Because he said they didn't obey the gospel. You can't obey Jesus Christ as the Son of God. You can't obey that. That's just a statement of fact. But evidently the gospel has some commands to be obeyed, and those are going to be judged, 2 Thessalonians 1, who do not obey the gospel. Two good verses to keep in mind in discussing this important issue. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4 through 6, our question is, in connection with Christ and the salvation he offers by grace, what avails or means anything? What avails or means anything? Faith that works. Faith that works. Don't be afraid of the word works. Help people to see that this is not the works of Romans 4. This is not the works of Ephesians 2:9. That the Bible uses the term works in a way that it's incorporated in the gospel plan of salvation. Faith that's working through love. So we point on the lesson. These works grow out of the recognition of one's need for Christ and putting one's trust in Him as Savior. There's no room for boasting. Somebody quote Ephesians 2:8-9.
By grace you have been saved through faith. That not of works.
Well,
that no one can boast.
Okay. That's close. That's close enough. You get that far, you'll do fine. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works that no man can boast. Now, what kind of works in that text is he talking about then?
Works of the law.
I'm not denying that, but I want from that text.
Works
you can boast about. Now, can I boast when I come to Christ, say I'm a sinner, I'm lost, I'm condemned, I need you? No. That's not the kind of works. When you're baptized in water, there's something to boast about. What have you done? You haven't earned anything. When you repent, there's no boasting. The works of Ephesians 2:8-9 are works you boast about. Don't leave the verse. You're studying with somebody, say, well, ask, well, what kind of works is this? In the text, right there in the text, not of works, lest any man should boast. Same thing in Romans 4:5. verse 4 and 5. Okay, so just stay with the text. Okay, point number 5. Failure to recognize the different kind of works in Scriptures and which kind is under consideration in a specific text leads to confusion and error. Following are some examples. Man is saved without works. That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Romans 4, 4, and 5. They say, baptism is a work. Conclusion, man is saved without baptism. Have you talked to people about the plan of salvation, run across this? If you haven't, you haven't talked to very many people. If you talk to people about the plan of salvation, you will come across this. And so this is the way that they've been trained to think. Okay, so this argument is invalid. And we're trying to point out why it makes a play on the word work. This is an important thing in logical thinking, that you can't change meanings in the middle of the stream, as it were. The word work does not mean the same thing in number 1 and number 2. The first line, man is saved without works. Is that true? Yes. Is baptism a work? Is that true? Yes. But is it the kind of works as in the first line? No. So you've switched meanings. You see? The kind of works in the first line are what kind? Works you can boast of. And according to Romans 9, works that what? Do not need faith in the gospel. Get familiar with Romans 9, 30 through 33. He explains that there. And so, but the word work in the second line is a different meaning. It's just an activity, something you do. See, it's a play on the word work. It's an invalid argument. Let's try it again to show the fallacy of this kind of reasoning. Man is saved without works, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. True? Is that true? Yes. Faith is a work, John 6, 28, 29. True? Yes. Because two points of an argument are true doesn't mean the conclusion is valid. There may be a problem, and there is here. The conclusion then is, man is saved without faith. What's the problem in this argument?
They say that's how they're saved.
Sir?
They say that's how you are saved, faith, and the faith only people.
But the faith only people won't agree with this conclusion.
Oh, no, they won't. Okay.
What's wrong with this argument? Both two lines are true. What's wrong with the argument? Two different kind of works. The change of the word works in the two lines. The kind of works in line 1 are the kind of works you can boast of. The kind of work in line 2 is a work out of faith in Jesus. That's what he said in the verse right before that. So you can see the fallacy in these three lines. You can see the fallacy in the three lines above it. The play on the word works. Let's try it again. Anyone who works, God owes a reward. Look at Romans 4, 4. To the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due. So is the first line true? Yes. Baptism is a work. Is that true? Yes. So the conclusion, anyone who's baptized, God owes a reward. His salvation is not of grace. Anybody believe that? Anybody believe that? Yes, your denominational friends believe that. But let's try that again. Paul was baptized. Did God owe him salvation? No. And so, he argued, Galatians 3, 26 and 27, that baptism is the way you put on Christ. Romans 6, he said, baptism is the way you enter the new life. So what's the problem in this argument? Change in the word, the definition of works in the first two lines. You can't do that in an argument and reach a valid conclusion. Now, let's just get away from faith and works and illustrate it with a common everyday example. Kids have sharp tails. That's true. Do goats have sharp tails? Do they?
Yes.
Kids have sharp tails. My child is a kid. Is that true? Therefore, my kid has a sharp tail. What's the problem?
Different type of kid.
Play on the word kid. See? Same thing with the other arguments with the word works. We can see this. Here's another example. Tops are made to spin on the floor. Is that true? Yes. This glass lid to this pot is a top. True? True. So, conclusion, this glass top is made to spin on the floor.
False.
Why? Play on the word top, isn't it? Top has two different meanings in the first two lines. Okay? So it's important then to ascertain what kind of works are under consideration in any given passage for correct interpretation. There's another kind of work we haven't even been talking about. In Galatians 5:19, following, what kind of work is that? Works of the flesh. Idolatry, adultery, those kind of things. Works of the flesh. It's not the works of Romans 4:5. Not the works of Ephesians 2:9. It's not the work of John 6:28-29. It's something else. Works of the flesh. And so we see there's at least three different ways that the word work or works is used in your New Testament. So, going back to Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Were the Ephesians baptized?
Yes.
How do you know?
Acts 19.
What happened in Acts 19? Okay, when Paul got to Ephesus, what did he find?
Disciples were baptized in John's baptism.
12 disciples who had been baptized in John's baptism. What did he do? Read Acts 19:5. Tell me what he did. Baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. If those 12 disciples were required to do that, what about the other disciples in Ephesus? Same thing, right? Ephesians 5:26 talks about their cleansing. How?
Washing
of water with the word. What is there in the whole scheme of redemption that has to do with water? That's right. Baptism. The Ephesians were baptized. I know that from Acts 19. I think it's an allusion to it in Ephesians 5:26. But even if it isn't, you have Acts 19. So here he writes to these same people later and says, salvation is not a work. Is there any way then I can make that mean baptism is not essential or that baptism is a work of Ephesians 2:9? When Paul taught these people to be baptized, cannot be. It cannot be. All right, so this should certainly show, as we have here in our concluding paragraph, I'll be sure that's on your lesson. Maybe it's not on your lesson. It is. This salvation through faith in the Son of God, John 3:16, is indeed by grace. It's a gift of God. What praise, thanksgiving, and devotion then do we owe Him? Indeed. And that's what Ephesians 1 through 3 is about. The praise of the glory of God's grace. Because He saved us when we did not deserve it. He set us free. He redeemed us. He raised us from the dead to sit with Christ in heavenly places. Three grand chapters about the wonderful, matchless grace of God. That in no way undermines the concept of being baptized as a requirement for salvation. And the very church to which he wrote those things is a group of people who were taught to be baptized by the man who wrote the letter. More than that, this very man who wrote the letter, what was he told to do to be saved?
Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins.
Where is that at? Acts 22:16. So how in the world can I interpret Ephesians 2:8-9 and ignore Acts 19, Acts 22:16? You cannot. Not to do it justice. But people's eyes have been blinded, and it's unfortunate because it's such a serious topic. Okay? All right. If you don't have the lesson on repentance, I've got some on the table in the back. I think most of you have it. We'll pick up with the lesson on repentance in our Sunday morning class. We should be able to finish that lesson in our class. Encourage you to look over the verses and the questions there. And we'll talk about the subject of repentance, the Lord willing, on Sunday morning. Thank you.